Fuck all you old man waves.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on
cassette. Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade.
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I'm your host, Old Man Wade. And I'm doing a two-man pod with my man, Judge Greg.
What's up?
What's going on, man? How goes it?
Not too bad.
Thank you for visiting. I know you're in the state of God of War right now.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be studying, but I had to shoehorn some God of War in there, too.
How's the game been?
It's pretty freaking good. It starts off kind of slow, and then I remember talking to my brother about it, and he was like, dude, have you played God of War yet? And I was like, yeah, I started playing it. What do you think? It's cool. Like, I like it. He said, did you get to that part yet? And I was like, what part? He was like, oh, there's this part where you meet this stranger and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I haven't gotten there yet. But he was like, oh, when you get to that part, you'll start to remember that this is God of War.
Like, okay.
It has, like, these real dramatic, real intense action-packed sequences and stuff.
Yeah.
And when I got to it, I was like, holy shit. Like, I was listening to a podcast, because I like to listen to podcasts while I play video games.
Same here.
And study while I play video games. But, I had the podcast playing, and I was playing the game. And then when I got to that part, something crazy just happened. I was like, holy shit. And I had to stop the podcast and really focus. It was just crazy.
Yo, that's the thing about the God of War games. Like, once you, like, start, like, it's like, they kind of, because, you know, the tutorial, like, you know, press circle to do this and blah, 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 blah. So I kind of figured it would start slow. But I figured that, like, if it was whack, the critics were going to let you know. And it's been getting, like, rave reviews. I think the writer, the guy who wrote the story for the game, mm-hmm. was reading the reviews, and it brought him to tears.
Yeah, I saw that. I peeped that.
But I am kind of sad that we don't get, like, the Blades of Chaos and stuff like that. Is he still just as, like, proficient with the axe?
Well, you got to remember, I haven't played very much God of War. I think you put me onto the game.
Yes.
I think I played, like, the third one, which is really good. So I don't have a lot of history with God of War, so I can't really answer that the way you'd like me to.
Yeah. Because one of my own concerns is, and we're both Uncharted guys, you put me on Uncharted,
mm-hmm.
and one of my concerns was when you redo a series or, like, you know, adding a new character, how is it going to compare to the other ones? And I haven't bought it yet. I might buy it tomorrow. Depending on what my funds look like. But I'm going to get it eventually. But when they did the new Uncharted mm-hmm. with Chloe?
Yeah.
And I can't remember the British woman's name. I was kind of worried, but I'm like, you know what? The Uncharted team hasn't let me down yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they still continue to be as good as they are. So I'm hoping that I'm still just as good. You looking forward to anything? One thing I'm looking forward to, honestly, is the Spider-Man game.
I'm looking forward to that. I meant to pick up Far Cry 5, but I've just been too busy to get to it. And plus, I knew God of War was coming, so I just got to make time for some of this stuff. Other games? I don't know. I can't. There's nothing. There isn't really anything on my radar right now in terms of video games. Other than God of War, there's really not much that I can think of. What about yourself?
Just Spider-Man. That's the only thing I can really think of. I haven't even got the new Marvel vs. Capcom game. And you know how, like, deep I am to those games. Mm-hmm. But, like, the new game didn't look like they added anything. The character selection looked kind of whack.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, eh, I don't care enough. And I got Injustice 2, like Gold Edition or whatever the heck it's called. Mm-hmm. And I've been rocking that, so.
Actually, the only thing, I'm starting to hear little tidbits of news for Bioshock.
Oh, God.
So, I got my ears open for that one. And other than that,
to quote a great philosopher, trash.
Anyway, And I don't expect any new Fallout games coming out anytime soon. If there's going to be a new one, it probably won't come out for another, like, 2 or 3 years, so...
They've been pumping those games out, like, almost, like, yearly, right?
No. Far Cry? Far Cry, yeah. About, I'd say, like, every other year.
Yeah.
They'll pump one out. Fallout, you'll get one, like, every 5 years.
Yeah.
And then, you know... I mean, it is what it is. And you know what? That's fine for me, because I work so much, and I'm preoccupied with so many other things that I actually like that all these titles that I like and I enjoy come out at a very slow pace.
Yeah, I dig it, man. Because it's only like, it's funny you brought up studying and playing video games, because that's what I'm writing. Mm-hmm. I have to, I write a little bit, and when I get into a funk or a slump, mm-hmm. I play a game for a little while. I think about what's going on in my when I'm writing and like the podcast. I don't know if this helps you, but a lot of times when I'm listening to a podcast, I get ideas. Mm-hmm. So I get the ideas and I'm like, oh, and I kind of relate and I try to relate it to what I'm writing, and then I pause the game and I go back to what I'm doing, kind of like taking a breather from the actual task that I'm supposed to be doing. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But I do that all. Like, it was funny. I'll come home at about 4 after work. Cut the game on, open the laptop, start my article, I'll start playing. And like, so I'm playing, 2K is usually my go-to when I get home. It's just like, it's easy enough, you know what I mean? And I'll play, and then I'll think of something, and I'll pause the game. Then like, when Maria comes home around like 8 o'clock, I'm still in the first quarter, because I've been sitting here writing for like 4 hours, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's usually how I do it when I'm going through all that. Mm-hmm. So let's get to it, man. I wanted to bring you in. We've had like a lot of hip hop news over the last week. Kanye mm-hmm. talking about his new project, working with Nas,
producing it or something like that.
Yeah, Pusher T, mm-hmm. and there's one more. Tiana Taylor. Yeah, thank you. Who is she? I don't even know who that is.
Remember, she was on my list, like my top three.
Yes.
And I just found out recently she had surgery. Do I care? No. But I just found out about that. But my theory on surgery is if I can touch them, they're real.
Yeah.
But I don't like that cartoony shit. Like, they're really...
Look, when your butt looks like an egg?
Yeah, like, oh my
God. Like a sideways egg. I never got that. And you know what's funny? It always makes... Like, there's a difference between, like, if you have an egg standing up, how it has, like, a nice curve to it, you know what I mean? But when it has, like that sideways pointy butt,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? It looks really weird.
That space between the bottom of the butt and the upper thigh and
the butt cuff.
that's what really puts things into perspective.
Yes.
And there's been a lot of that. But we're not here to critique women's bodies, you know?
Shout out to Lorraine Cocaine. Sweet Christmas.
She's cool. I like her.
Yeah.
She's
cool. But yeah, so what do you... I was actually talking to a homegirl. Shout out to Demi. We're discussing Kanye West and his... I guess everyone's calling him. Like, even like Sam Jackson said, he's in a sunken place. But my homegirl Demi... let me say what Joe Budden said. He was saying that... Kanye only cares about black people when he has a project coming out.
You know what? I listened to that. Yeah, he kind of rears his head when he has something going on and wants the masses to have all eyes on him so that when his product comes out, they're rushing to stores to get it. I'm not sure if he's using this whole thing, everything that he's saying, as a ploy to get attention and sell records and everything. Or maybe he just decided to come out of hiding, speak his mind, and people ain't feeling him, you know?
Yeah, but you know what's funny about that is, and I have opinions on both sides. On one side, I agree with Kanye when he's like, you know, I don't have to agree with everything he's doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But on the other hand, I'm like, you were really hard on George Bush, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, what's the phrase, keep the same energy? Mm-hmm. Where's that energy for, like, Trump? But as Dave Chappelle said, Trump doesn't care about the poor disenfranchised. He only cares about rich people because those are his people. Mm-hmm. Kanye is a rich guy, you know what I mean? So it makes sense that Kanye would ride on him because he's actually looking out for him in, like, yeah, in his tax bracket.
And wearing that hat wasn't a good look. Good look. It actually makes him look pretty bad among
9 million followers.
Yeah,
he lost 9 million followers.
Yeah, he went from like 27 to 18 or something like that.
Yeah, it was.
That's crazy. But you know what? People get on him and other celebrities about that I don't really agree with is how, you know, when they he met with Trump.
Yeah.
Him, Steve Harvey, and some other
Ray Lewis.
Yeah. I don't see a huge deal with that. I really don't see it. Like, okay, just because if you don't agree with somebody, can you at least have a conversation with them to try to figure it out, to try to, you know, get a feel for them? What's wrong with having a conversation?
That's the problem with the world as a whole, is no one really wants to have a conversation about things. And nobody really wants to talk, no one wants to listen, everybody wants to be heard, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So I think that's a problem. Like, we've had this conversation about about struggling with voicing our opinions because a lot of times people aren't really feeling it, and then it mm-hmm. starts arguments, and you're like, this is a waste of my time, and especially, like, my energy, and a lot of times it fucks up your cool, you know what I mean? Like, for example, we'll just keep it to the Kanye West thing. Kanye West, he's riding with Trump. Mm-hmm. Cool, that's fine. But if you say to someone like, oh, I'm still bumping up, but I'm bumping his music, you're like, well, what about his politics? On the one hand, I'm like, why does it matter? Like, you know what I mean? You don't agree with his politics, that's fine. Like, you know what I mean? But are you still supporting him? Are you still supporting what he believes in if you're supporting his music? You know what I mean? And you can't have that conversation because everyone's going to hear, no, you just shouldn't support him because of this. And it's like, well, can we talk about it?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a conversation. And if after the conversation happens, we do decide to throw the hat on and spread nothing but great things about Trump, okay, that's his business. Then decide, you know what, F. Kanye, I don't rock with him or anything. But there should be nothing wrong with having a conversation.
I agree. And you know what's funny? There's a lot of feminists and a lot of super woke people who I love, who don't want to have, who won't, like, have the conversation, where it's like, you want to be heard, but you're not listening, like, you know what I mean? There are some things that I'm just not hearing. I ain't hearing none of the Nazi shit. You can go fuck yourself on that. Sure. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not listening to hatred. I'm absolutely not, I'm not with that at all. But, like, you know, the conversations about, like, gun laws, I'm on the fence. But you said it best when it's like, people should matter more than your guns, like, you know what I mean?
True.
I'm on the fence about, like, a lot of things, like religion. I'm not an in-the-box religious guy. I believe in what I believe in. I'm more agnostic than anything else. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to knock a person for being Christian. I'm not even going to knock people who believe in, like, the Satanic Bible. After finding out, a lot of it preaches, well, for lack of a better term, talks about, like, just basically not being a dick. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But because this comedian said, yeah, the Satanist Bible just needs a better PR. That's what it comes down to.
As long as whatever you believe in doesn't impede on whatever I'm doing in my life, my day-to-day, I don't care. Believe what you want to believe.
Yeah. You know? What is it? Christopher Titus said it, and my wife said something funny, too. Titus goes, I don't care what you believe in as long as it stops you from robbing me at an ATM 3 in the morning. And my wife said it best. If everyone just minded their own fucking business, we wouldn't have these issues.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? So
there's a lot of peace of mind in minding your damn business.
Like, it was funny, and I'm probably going to talk with Javi about this, about minding your business. I was talking to him on this wrestling webpage, shout out to Duke. Duke loves wrestling, his wrestling crew. I posted this thing about the WWE in Saudi Arabia, and they're not allowing women to perform. And I'm like, you guys WWE has been heavy on like the women's revolution, promoting tolerance like of all races. Like in during WrestleMania, one of the wrestlers rocked out with rainbow colored socks representing LGBTQ, and there was another woman who's who is an out and proud wrestling woman with rainbow things in her hair. And it's like, but then to go to Saudi Arabia where they're like known for being heavy against like women's rights and heavy against the gay culture, I had some issue with. Like, you know what I mean? I was asking people's opinion, and this guy brought up a point, which I agree. I don't really agree with when he goes, "That's a problem." He goes, "That's a problem with Americans. Everyone wants to mind everyone else's business." And I'm like, "Yeah, but you're like, it was like, I'm not for the hatred though. Like, and that's my issue with it. Like, you know what I mean? They, it's like, what's more important, the check or your integrity? You know what I mean?" But hey, it ain't my company, so. So I just wonder, like, when is minding your business okay? Like, you know, when do you get to the point where you're like, what is it, the phrase? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? I feel there has to be a balance to it, I guess. Yeah. All right, let's look at the pressure shit. Let's get to some hip-hop. So, I hit you up, I probably should have had this out already, but I hit you up yesterday about some questions about hip-hop and things of that nature, and I figured you put me onto a lot of music. And with Kendrick Lamar, why do I keep calling him Kendrick Lamar? With J. Cole's album coming out, like, and it's like, you know, the LaBelle joke about him going platinum with no features. Mm-hmm. Is that important?
Not really. It's a feat. It's quite a feat, but okay, does that imply that... I guess it implies that for a very long time that people... A lot of artists have gone, they've reached certain heights by having certain features. And I think, you know, you got me doing the same shit. J. Cole kind of changed the program there and put out an album where he doesn't have any, well, he has features, but not any like high profile features. Like, to say that Kendrick, technically, if you want to look at it technically, he's had features on all his albums. When they say no features, they mean he hasn't had any high profile.
No Jay, no Nas, no Lupe Fiasco.
No notable artists featured on his, what, last two or last three albums.
Then that shouldn't count as a no feature then, you know what I mean? Like, you still got features.
I mean, it's kind of a... It's kind of a slight to the people that are actually featured on his album, too.
Yeah.
Like, hey, This is great. I'm on a J. Cole album. My cut made the album. Great. And then you read Twitter and people are like, yo, J. Cole's about to go platinum again with no features. Like, imagine how that guy sounds.
Yeah. Imagine if he said it to you and he don't know you're on the album. Yo, the Old Man Wade show did a million on views with no guests.
Hey, you know what? As long as these guys got paid.
Yeah. That's another thing people. What was it they talk about on The Brilliant Idiots? What's more important, your check of recognition? Ghostwriters make a good amount of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, shit, Jay did it for years. Neo still does it. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Missy Elliott has done it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Hilson, Cameron. There's a lot of artists out here who penned other people's hits, and it's not well known. Depending on which genre we're talking about, it's either frowned upon or not. Like, in R&B, it doesn't matter who writes it, as long as the song comes out good. In rap, it's frowned upon.
Why is it frowned upon with rap, but not necessarily with like, R&B, or even, like, rock?
You know what I think it is? Like, ever
looked at, like, a rock, like, the list of writers on a rock and roll track?
It's excessive.
Yeah! Like, you know what I mean?
You know what I think it is? I think because hip-hop, when it started off as, like, it was competitive in nature. So you have two men or two women or a man and a woman going at each other. And don't get me, I don't want to get it twisted. I know that's not what hip-hop is all about. But let's say let's just talk about one of the elements of hip-hop.
Yeah.
Which is battling.
Yeah.
And it started way back. So people revere the person that can come up with his own rhymes, not only his own rhymes, but entertaining rhymes that kind of captivates the crowd and everything. So I think in that vein, people want hip-hop artists to continue to hold on to that energy and, you know, just keep it there. Don't change it. Let's not be in a world of hip-hop where everybody's writing everybody's rhymes. You have, like, when it comes to rhyming, people really listen to what you say. People are really putting your words under a microscope. People are thinking about your cadence. People are thinking about how you resonate with everybody. In hip-hop, much like poetry, spoken word, what you say holds a lot of weight. So imagine being a superstar rapper and you're not the person who wrote your rhymes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
Are you who you say you are?
Yeah, all you are is like a... It's like being a mannequin. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's...
It's a mannequin. All you do, they put you up in front of the store, and every season, as the seasons change, you get new flow. Come winter time, you get the winter outfit. Come springtime, you get the spring outfit. They're constantly changing your shoes, your pants, and everything. You're standing there making the outfit look good, but somebody else is responsible for your look. You know?
I thought about it like that.
In R&B, it's different because, like, everybody knows, like, I'm sure Lauryn Hill didn't write all her songs.
Yeah.
Beyonce didn't write all her songs.
Her biggest hit was written. But her first big hit was written by Neo.
Yeah. So there's plenty of artists out here who are, like, praised, who are, like, iconic, who've had a team of writers in the background working magic for them.
Yeah.
And nobody really holds it against them. It's just a plus if Beyonce writes a song that happens to go quadruple platinum and everybody loves it. That's a plus. Now, we had the whole thing with Drake a few years ago where there was a reference track that was leaked where, you know, some guy, I forget the guy's name, supposedly wrote the rhymes to a particular song that everybody liked, and it leaked, and people were talking trash about Drake. He's bounced back since then, and people aren't really mad at him. And, I mean, some artists voice their opinion on, you know, well, he can't be in the conversation of top five artists if he has someone else writing his rhymes. Okay, cool, but that goes back to what I'm saying, where more weight is held on what you're saying, how clever you are, your wordplay, your wit, and everything in the realm of hip-hop. So to have a ghostwriter, to have somebody writing your rhymes, whether people know about it or not, is frowned upon.
Yeah, okay. Does it matter to you, like, when you listen to an artist, Nicki Minaj is, I guess, known for not writing her own rhymes or whatever. Does that matter to you?
It doesn't matter. Like, I don't... Back in the day, it would have, because back in the day, I was always buying CDs. I wasn't buying MP3s. I was buying CDs. Much earlier than that, I was buying tapes. And what I liked to do was go through the artwork, look at the credits. I knew who producers were.
Yeah.
I knew, like, I would listen to an album for the first time, listen to a song and say, you know what, I think it sounded like Easy Mo B did this beat. This definitely sounds like Havoc did this beat. This definitely sounds
like a lot of producers, you know, have a very distinct sound.
They have a particular sound.
Yeah.
And then I go to the pamphlet and say, oh, see, I was right. This was, you know, but with the entry of MP3s into the mainstream and everything, you don't necessarily not have access to that information. It's just not...
Unless you're actually going, like, searching for
it. Yeah, I mean, if you're really into it, you can find it. But if it was, you know, since that excitement of buying an album, ripping the plastic off, opening it up, and wondering what the artwork looked like, that's gone.
Which is kind of sad, man, because I think it was on... Bless you. I'm trying to think the last one that I really enjoyed... Lupe Fiasco, The Cool,
mm-hmm.
like his the artwork and his discography was and his CD was good. I think some other ones. Those are the ones that I can't really remember. And I would assume that MF Doom probably had some dope
mm-hmm.
artwork on his and things like that. But I kind of miss the... Don't get me wrong. I love just being able to go on my phone and hit plus and download a whole album. Mm-hmm. But I do kind of miss that, like you said, grabbing a CD, opening it up, mm-hmm. putting it in your CD player, and like bumping it, and like sitting on the bus or the train while you're going through the artwork, mm-hmm. trying to see like who these writers are and trying to see how many tracks they wrote on. Because mm-hmm. it was funny when I first realized what those were, and then realizing how many times I had seen like R. Nobles or mm-hmm. S. Dot Carter. I was mm-hmm. like, oh, okay. And I was like, so it was cool. Like when I found out that Redman wrote a lot of his own lyrics. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's kind of cool. And it's like now it's just. That's actually going to be a point I'm probably going to make fairly often. I'll credit it to you. It's like when you don't write your lyrics and rap, you're essentially, like you said, a mannequin.
Yeah.
Or you're a runway model, actually. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Here's a new style mm-hmm. for 2018, and you exactly. send out the Migos. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And now that I think of it, I remember back in the day when CDs were the highest. The most popular platform to use to consume music. I remember actually buying an album, ripping the plastic off, opening it up, looking at the sleeve, the artwork and everything, putting the CD in the drive, pressing play, and actually sitting down with my headphones and going from song to song, wondering what the next one's going to sound like. Based on what the credits say, it's almost like when you sit down and you watch a play,
yeah.
you know, the program, or you go to a graduation and you wonder what's next on the programs, the exact same thing.
What was it, or one of my favorite things where you get the random bonus when the lyrics would be in there, mm-hmm. and you were like, oh snap, I can read along as a rapping, you know what I mean? So that was kind of cool. Uh-huh. Like, granted, now you can do it like on your phone, but it's just not the same, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I buy, for example, like I buy all my comics digitally. But that's mostly because I just don't have the room, the space in my apartment for all those comic books, you know what I mean?
I remember a time where you refused to do that.
Yeah.
You were like, hell no, I'm never doing that. I'm never buying that.
Yo, it's so convenient.
It is.
But I do miss walking to the comic book shop. Like, you know what I mean? I'm probably gonna start going and buying like trades for like the books that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. Like, I still, because as much as I like digital comics, I like sitting and, like, flipping pages. It's a little more fun, you know what I mean? So, there's that. What do you think of the new J. Cole album?
I like it. I like it. It's very laid back, very mellow. It does have some bouncy songs on it, which is good. I like the balance of it. I do wish that he would come a bit more grittier. And harder at times.
Yeah.
I prefer more of that balance than to be on some real, real, like, chill, like, smoke a blunt type shit, like real woke, opening your mind. I get it.
But you're like me. You're a 90s guy. You want to hear that rah, rah sometimes.
Yeah, I know, and I get it. Like, when you're really trying to get people to open their minds, you want to come at them with a certain energy. And I guess it's better received when there's more, like, a real mellow... or like lower tempo.
Yeah.
You know, so I like it. I've tried to listen to it at the gym and it doesn't
sound like workout music.
It doesn't it's not workout music, but when you didn't plan for what you plan on listening to at the gym and you just get to the gym and you're like, okay, what do I have to listen to? Oh, what do I have new? Okay, J. Cole, play. You know,
yeah.
Well, I went through the whole album, like the third to last time I went to the gym, and then the second to last time I did it again, and then I made a mental note to myself saying, yeah, no J. Cole, let's try something else. But I do like the album. I do like it.
I'm actually shocked you don't do, like, I have specific playlists for, like, specific times. Like, I'm with my Maria, uh-huh. I have a playlist specifically of music that, like, she enjoys or that we both enjoy. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm going to the gym, I have like a couple of gym playlists depending on what I'm doing. I have one for like the treadmill. I have mm-hmm. one for like weightlifting and things like that. So I have specific things. I'm actually shocked you don't like have like a like you don't put some songs together. Like,
specifically. I have playlists that I made ages ago, and usually I don't think of making playlists unless I have a trip coming up. But other than that, honestly, I think I listen to podcasts more than I do music nowadays.
I kind of do too. Like, the only time I really listen to music is when I'm moving around. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm on my way to... It depends. Like, if in the morning, I usually put on a podcast when I'm on my way to work, because that's kind of like... It kind of puts me in a... If I post something funny to kind of get me in the mood to, like, get ready to get in there. But I think that, when I first get up in the morning, like, when I'm walking around the house, again, I have a playlist that morning hip-hop. It's a lot... Mm-hmm. It's on a lot of Tribe. It's a lot of Lupe. Mm-hmm. There's some J. Cole on there, you know what I mean? And it's just, like, something to, like, kind of get me going. But once I usually leave the house, I think I usually put on, like, playlists. I usually put on a podcast or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I go, you ever, do you re-listen to old shows or anything like that?
Not really.
Because the Whiskey Brothers, I listen to them more than I do any other podcast. And I go back and listen to them because it's all comedy. So I'll go back and listen to that stuff. Like, the one I sent you, I must have listened to that about twice already because it cracked me the F up. But so, yeah, for the most part, like, I don't know. Like, and, like, with music, I find myself, I'm 1,000 years old. Like, you know what I mean? Hence the name of the show. So a lot of times, I get stubborn with my music. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a track on, I think it's, like, the third or fourth track on J. Cole's new album, where it has that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, I don't want to hear this shit. But then I'm listening to it, and I'm like, oh, there's some lyrics behind this. Like, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't even get past the flow to listen to the lyrics. And I'm trying to get myself out of that mood. That's why I listen to the Chun-Li Nicki Minaj song. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I kind of like this.
Why does she call it Chun-Li?
I have no idea.
I don't listen to lyrics as much as I should, but I really scanned through that song. Well, I really listened to the song, and maybe I keep missing it, but I kept wondering, why does she call it Chun-Li?
The part that kind of befuddled me about it was she calling herself the villain, but the name of the song is Chun-Li, and I'm like, Chun-Li's a cop. She works for Interpol. And it was just like, but I was like, you know what, that's the nerd side of me thinking way too deep into this. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let it go.
Well, you can be a bad cop, so.
No such thing. That was sarcasm. Don't fucking DM me because I don't give a fuck. Oh. But you know what it was? She probably just called it Chun-Li so she could dress like Chun-Li for the cover.
Why didn't she? Because that wasn't Chun-Li outfit.
Not outfit, but there were like Instagram pictures of her dresses like Chun-Li. Oh, and okay. plus it's that gets the attention of, if people like Nicki Minaj, they're gonna buy it anyway. Like, you know what I mean? If you're a gamer or just a nerd, you hear Chun-Li, you're already gonna be like, let me check this out just because I either want to hear how bad she was in it, or you just want to check it out because it's called Chun-Li, you know what I mean?
Do you like how people are pitting her against Cardi B?
I think it's fucking stupid.
It's not like other people are responsible. They really do have issues with each other.
Yeah, I actually just found out about, listening to Budden, I just found out about this.
If I had to choose, I'd go with Nicki. I'm sorry, I did listen to Cardi's album. It is not for me. It's not for me. I hate her flow. I hate her delivery. She sounds the same on every single song. It's just really ratchet.
Yeah, it kind of
music to me. But at least with Nicki, you get the lyrics some more. Even though, I mean, she's not saying anything groundbreaking, the lyrics are still more cohesive. The delivery's way better. She runs circles around
in terms of like rapping?
When it comes to rapping, when it comes to flows, when it comes to changing her tone and
everything. When it comes to actually everything musical.
Yeah.
She's like you said, she runs circles around on Cardi. I'm a fan of Cardi B. You know what I mean? Her album was okay. I listened to it and I was like, okay, this isn't bad. There's a couple of tracks on there that I might keep in rotation. Mm-hmm. I like it like that. I was like, okay, I can fucks with this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? But it's not something that I'm gonna keep in like heavy rotation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? My issue with Nicki is the same issue I have with Drake. It's like Nicki has bars. Like, you know what I mean? I don't like a lot of her music, but when she goes at it, it's like, okay, I'm with this. Same issue I had with Lil Wayne after the Carter
3? 2? Because you didn't like 3, right?
I thought 3 was okay. But then he put out that 6 foot, 7 foot. I'm like, yo. Mm-hmm. And every time someone goes, Wayne's whack, I'm like, nah. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, you need to, like, first off, play 6 foot, 7 foot, and then go listen to the Carter too. Because one of my favorite phrases, one of my favorite lines in a hip-hop song was, I hear him speaking, but they're talking under masks. Stop throwing pebbles at a bulletproof glass. I was like, oh, shit. Like, you know what I mean? But Nicki, when she goes at it, like, she's got flows like, it's like, I am not Jasmine, I am Aladdin. So far ahead, these bums are lagging. I was like, oh, shit. And but then she puts on some other nonsense, like, you a stupid hoe, you a stupid, stupid hoe. I'm like, oh, God, cut this shit the fuck out. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's how she makes money. It's like Jay-Z always said, I put this out to bring people in. The substance is really in the album.
I don't really think anybody's looking to Nicki for substance, though.
Not really.
I think people are looking to her to be more consistent with her sound and stop chasing a particular bag.
I explain that.
Because I think her biggest hit was Spaceships.
I don't even know what that is.
Spaceships is a radio hit that she had that is totally different from what you would hear bumping in the hood on a summer morning, on a summer day. Like, it's really, like, mainstreamy. It's really, like, poppy sounding.
Yeah.
And ever since she came out with that, she kind of was like, oh, this is my niche? I'll rock with it. Though I'm not mad at her for it, do your thing. If this is what's raking in the dough, for real, most certainly do your thing. But once she got a little too involved in that, I was like, you know what? And it's not like I even, like, listen to all her music. I like Nicki Minaj, aside from, like, her looks and everything. I actually do like Nicki Minaj. I like some of the music that she put out. But I can't say I have a Nicki Minaj album that I can listen to all the way through and then say, okay, I gotta listen to this again. Like, I skip through certain tracks. And, yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
You know what, me and Maria were talking about this. We were talking about hip-hop and rappers and stuff like that. And I was honestly disgusted with the new Eminem album.
Yeah.
And she said it best when she goes, he's trying too hard to sound like these new rappers when he doesn't need to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, he's one of the few people, one of the few rappers who have a fan base. Mm-hmm. That he never needs to change who he is. Like, Jay's never changed who he was. He's evolved with his fan base.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always been who he was. You know what I mean? And, like, that last M album, man, it was... His last two albums, honestly, were kind of disappointing. Like, you know what I mean? It just didn't seem like... It's almost like he felt the need to be relevant, so the flow was kind of different. And I'm just like... I'm like, dude, one of the five greatest rappers ever, like, in terms of, like, flow, and it's like, you put out this bullshit.
And M is like, I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know. And, like, he is one of the best rappers of all time, but that's all he is to me. Like, he has, I think his best album was probably, like, the Marshall Mathers LP. The Eminem Show was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then all the other stuff was either hit or miss with me.
Really?
Yeah, there's just, I don't know, like, he's one of those rappers who are, like, amazing on the mic, but when it comes to body of work, the music, I mean,
so, I'm looking at, his now, like, Curtain Call was just his hits or whatever, but, that song, When I'm Gone, dope. What about his dog? Love that. Encore was okay, but it was kind of like, it was goofy. Like, you know what I mean? The Marshall Mathers LP 2, I thought was kind of bad. I didn't like it. Recovery was cool. I really liked Recovery. Like, that felt like, that album went hard, like, start to finish. A lot of people didn't like Relapse. I loved Relapse.
I do like it.
But you know what it was? But, like, these Relapse is one of those albums that holds a special, like, it, you know how some albums, they get you through tough times?
Mm-hmm.
When I was going through my issues, like, Relapse came out, and Jelani was telling me that, like, we were talking about, and he was just saying, like, people don't give Relapse a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So, I heard Deja Vu when he was like talking about his issues and all this other stuff, and I was like, oh, this is, I can relate to that, like, you know what I mean, not necessarily the drugs and all that stuff, but I understand when it's like you're, when you have issues and you're going somewhere to deal with them. Mm-hmm. So I kind of understood it, and then like it was, and then it had that hint of Goofy, which, you know, shouldn't shock you, that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. So I liked that album, but I could understand why a lot of people didn't like it, you know what I mean. And then he puts out Recovery and you're like, oh snap. And I'm like, all right, cool. Then he put out, what was it? I can't remember the name of the album, but when he put out Rap God, like, he just, like 6 minutes of him just going in.
Yeah.
But yeah, some rappers are just like, you don't need to change who you are. Like, KRS, like, probably still sells out shows doing what he does. Like, you know what I mean? MF Doom is always going to be MF Doom. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get... If he ever puts out a club hit, it will be... I don't know what I would do if he... I would... I don't know how I would react to MF Doom putting out a club hit.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
You know what I mean? I think the only time he could do something like that is if he was, like, with Ghostface or something like that.
Which I doubt that album's ever coming out.
No, we gotta MF Doom Inspect the Deck album before we got an MF Doom Ghostface album.
And that's the one that everybody wants.
Yeah.
I think they had, what, one collaboration? That song, Angels or whatever?
Nah, they have the other one on,
Danger Doom.
Mask.
Yeah. The Mask.
Mouse of the Mask.
Angels. And I think another one that was actually close, was pretty much a collaboration, but Doom didn't rap on it, was a song on that album that Ghostface put out called More Fish, which was more like a compilation album.
Yeah.
Alex's Script, I think. That beat was sick. Yeah. I love that beat.
Yo, I'm glad that Ghost is really starting to get his due. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when people start bringing up, like, the best rappers, like, mm-hmm. top 10, Ghost is usually almost always in everyone's top 10, if not top 20. Yo, because he's been consistent since the 90s. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Red's one of my favorite guys, but Ghost, it's like every 2 years, you're getting a Ghost mm-hmm. album. And, like, it's not even, like, bullshit. Like, there was one album I think you said you didn't like a Ghost, right? Was it, like, the Emerald City one or something like that?
No, I love that one.
Was that the one with House Guest?
Yes, with Fab, yeah, yeah. That album was crazy. And I liked how he did a whole theme on that one, like an R&B theme. I like that. I think the album that I didn't like was Apollo Kids. Now, not to be confused with Apollo Kids.
The song,
the
right?
song okay. on Supreme Clientele.
Supreme Clientele.
That album is sick. I mean, I believe it's called Apollo Kids. It's an album. It might have been the last album he put out. It's the last solo album he put out. I know I think he put out an album with Killer Priest called Woo Goo or something like that.
Really?
Yeah. Or maybe that was some kind of promo that I got confused with.
Oh, wow. I didn't know he had a recent song out called New God Flow.
Oh, no.
Kanye, Pusha T, and Ghostface? Is that new?
No, that's not new. That came out on the Cruel Summer album.
Oh, he has an album about The Brown Tape? I'm looking at it now, and it's like he's got an album that came out this year. I didn't even know that.
Oh, I'll check it out.
Now look at that. Ghostface Killah and Apollo something or other. But yeah, Ghost is that dude. Alright, here's a good one. This is a conversation I love having with people. Is Biggie overrated?
I wouldn't say he's overrated. I think he gets his just due. Except, I believe that people put too much stock into his potential before his untimely death.
Yeah.
Dude only came out with 2 albums.
Yeah.
I don't know how...
You can be the best of all time.
How you can be the greatest ever with just 2 albums out. He may have had a really good run.
Plus, he had too many features.
He may have had a really, really good run, and he had a really, really good team, because despite all the other bullshit Bad Boy did put out, and Fat Boy actually at that time didn't put out a lot of bullshit.
No.
They put out some bullshit, but most of it was really good.
Yo, they knew how to make... Puff knows how to make money. Yeah. So he cashed in on all that stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Mace, Faith Evans, The Lox. And can I just say that Styles P, everyone used to call him the worst rapper of The Lox. He was just ahead of his time.
Like, people called him that?
Yeah, they were thought the Styles was the worst, was the weakest link of The Lox.
I always thought Sheik was. He wasn't whack, he just wasn't the go-to guy to me.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Like, because his first album was dope. Walk With Me.
Okay.
Walk With Me was a tough track. Tough album. But Puff knew how to make money in the 90s. Like, he knew that, like all this dance stuff, like, all this, like, poppy stuff, he knew that this was stuff that he could, like, things that are going to play forever. Like, we're always going to hear all about the Benjamins in the club.
Uh-huh.
We're always, every so often you'll hear Bad Boy with Maze.
Yeah.
And we're all pop for that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, he knows how to make hits.
Mace's first album was trash to me.
I went back and listened to it. It's pretty bad.
I thought it was pretty bad the first time I heard it. When I first heard it, I remember I was living in Connecticut, and when that album dropped, I went and got the album. I put it in my CD player, and I was like, this is kind of... I mean, I think it only had like two or three songs that I liked, but other than that, it was trash to me.
It really wasn't that good at all. Like, I can honestly say that, like, wow, I don't know why the fuck I like this. You know what I mean? But it was fun. Like, you know what I mean? You kind of...
Yeah.
But, like, I went back and tried to revisit it. I'm like, wow, this was bad. You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember why. I had really bad taste in music. You know what I mean? But this was, like, right around the time I think I first really started getting into hip-hop. Like, I'm wrong. Because I think my first introduction was, like, in, like, elementary school. Because my pops was always bumping A Tribe Called Quest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, like, I can't even say that. And after A Tribe Called Quest, he bumped, The Chronic was playing like heavy in my house, like, you know what I mean. Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style was always playing heavy in my house. So I can't say that. Like Onyx, I think was like one of the first like singles that I bought. Like, you know what I mean.
The first one I ever bought was Crisscross.
Ugh.
And that wasn't even the first single I ever bought was on cassette tape, and it was Ice Cube. You Know How We Do It.
That was the first. Dude, that song still goes hard, man.
I love that song. That was the first cassette single I ever purchased. The first album was Crisscross, Totally Crossed Out.
The first album I bought, I've had this conversation with you before, and maybe even on the pod, but the first CDs, the first tapes I bought with my own money, Cam'ron, Confessions of Fire, and Mystical Unpredictable.
Yeah.
Mattapan Music.
Yep, Madison. That's where I got my...
Dude, it's sad that's not there anymore, man. That
yeah, that's where I got a lot of music from. I saw Tretch in there one time.
Seriously?
Yeah. He was in there. I walked in there one time. I'm standing at the counter, and you know how you kind of scan the shelf?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You're just like, okay, what do they have? And then I just happen to look to the left, and I see a dude looking real mysterious. He looked my way. You know how Tretch always wore his shades?
Yeah.
He looked my way, and I was like, Tretch? And I know he's being low-key and everything, and I'm not the one who gets, like, starstruck or anything. Like, Jay-Z could be across the street right now. I'll just look at him.
Like,
and then keep it moving.
Like,
I'm not gonna run up to him and be like, "Oh, Jay, what's up? What's good?" Like, I don't have anything to say to him.
Yeah,
but it's nice to see, you know, someone that I often see on TV.
I think I only get starstruck when it's like someone. I think I'd only be starstruck if it was somebody like that was in my field or like motivated me. Like, if I met Charlamagne, I might be a little starstruck just because, like, after listening to his audiobook and seeing like what he's into, I would love to pick his brain about, like, you know, how to continue doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. If I met a couple, like, some of the writers and artists from comic books, I might be starstruck with that. Like, Garth Ennis. If I ever met Garth Ennis, I'd turn to an 8-year-old girl. Yeah. It's a dude who wrote The Punisher Max.
Okay.
So, I think it's a little different, man. But, Jalen Rose brought something up, and he was talking about, like, Biggie, like, being, like, one of the greatest of all time. And I think that people also need to distinguish the difference between the greatest of all time in, like, the greatest albums of all time. Like, you know what I mean? Ready to Die still is still really good. But I don't think it's... Would you consider Ready to Die or Life After Death one of the five greatest hip-hop albums of all time?
5? No. I remember Ready to Die left a mark on me because of how disturbing it was at the end. I was
sick of niggas lying.
Walking, matter of fact, 13, 14 years old. I think like 12, 13 years old listening to this album. And of course I can't just bump it in the house with my mom there because my mom, a Haitian woman, religious, she's not trying to hear curse words.
Yeah.
So I had to play it.
It's funny that the differences between the two of us, like my parents were bumping like Prince and The Chronic and like you had to keep shaking your
head. Yeah, exactly. So I'm listening to it and I remember when I first got to like the last song where he's committing suicide and the song Me and My Bitch, I was like, God, whoa, what just happened? Like, this dude just off himself? That's crazy. Yeah. Or, like, I know it sounds kind of stupid, but imagine being a child in a place where all I did was watch Tom and Jerry. All I did was play Street Fighter all day.
Yeah.
All I did was watch Nickelodeon and stuff like that. To be exposed to a guy who's, you know, in the drug game, doing some gangster shit, like, getting in this relationship with a woman who's, you know, in the gangster lifestyle with him, and she ends up getting shot and killed, and, you know, he's going through all this depression, that he has his ups and downs, and one day, things just boil over, and he decides to off himself. That shit was disturbing for me. So, I remember after listening to it, like, the first time, I kind of had to take a break to ingest what I just experienced.
Yeah.
Although I didn't experience it myself personally, those rhymes, the way it was orchestrated was so vivid, so believable, so like, it was just put together so well. So it did have an effect on me after, you know, I didn't think of suicide or anything like that, but it was crazy.
Yeah, it leaves like an emotional mark when you hear something like that, and it kind of stays. Like, it kind of, things like that, like, especially that young kind of stage, you're like, you're not, especially if you're not expecting it, and you're like, what just happened? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll say something. Fun fact I love mentioning, Method Man was the only rapper on Biggie's first album.
Really?
Yep. Like, this is not including, like, remixes and stuff like that, but Method Man was the only rapper on Big's first album, which I thought was, like, pretty fucking cool. And it was, I remember, like, if you listen to, like, interviews with him, like, Method Man, like takes it like a badge of honor. But you know what I mean? That Big, like, would put him on an album, like, you know what I mean? So, especially because that was, like, really early in his career. His first album had to have dropped by then, right?
Yeah, it already dropped.
And can I just say, Takao 2000 gets a bad rap?
It wasn't a very well put together album. It wasn't trash, but it wasn't a very well put together album. I think they made it too much of a production.
Yeah.
With all the skits and all the stuff going on the album. Like, dude, just give us like 15, 18 tracks and call it
a day. There's like 24 tracks on that.
I don't need the whole, like, the whole theme. I get it. Have a theme on your album. But I don't need all this extra shit, these extra skits and interludes and everything. Come on, like, it just wasn't for me. I still love Takao. Takao is a dope ass album. I would listen to Takao on the ride to Connecticut. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Takao 2000, I just like a few songs off of it.
I gotta wrap it up in a little bit, but I got a good one for you. What are your three favorite hip hop albums all time? Right off the top of your head. Like, because I know for me, I can give you the three. Like, for me, it's American Gangsta by Jay-Z, Lupe Fiasco, The Cool, and my number one is probably Danger to Do with Mouse in the Mask.
I'm gonna go with Mobb Deep, The Infamous. Damn, what else can I think?
People
of?
Sleep. People, another group that doesn't really get mentioned when you talk about the greats. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Hell on Earth was my shit.
Hell on Earth was dope.
The
Infamous, my boy, I remember I was in like middle school. His name was Kevin Smith, I guess. And he was like, yo, Greg, you gotta hear this. I got this on tape. You gotta listen to it. It's by this group called Mobb Deep. It's so good. All the songs are dope. By the time you're done listening to it, you're gonna wish it was never over. I listened to it, and he was right. I wish that shit was over with it.
Yo, that's the mark of a really good album, though, when you're listening to it, and you're like, yo, why does this have to end?
Okay, so Mobb Deep, The Infamous, Only Built for Cuban Links by Raekwon. Yes, I love that album. And then I'm going to go with... I might want to go with Mad Villain.
I was going to say, I'm shocked that like Mad Villain wasn't like the first one you mentioned.
Well, they're not in any particular order, but when I think of... It might change if I really sat down and looked at what my top three were. It might be different if I had, you know, if I really put a lot of thought into it. But for right now, let's just say Mad Villainy, Only Built for Cuban Links, and The Infamous.
Speaking of Only Built for Cuban Links 2 is one of the few albums that had a sequel and didn't disappoint.
Yes, I agree.
House of Flying Daggers is my shit! You know, like that one gets me amped. Like if I'm at the gym and I'm on the treble and that comes on, Soda's in the front, let the beat pump. I'm like, I go on in there and I just start jogging. I'm like, yo, this is my shit right here. And the song he did about Old Dirty, like that was touching.
Yeah, it was. Man, good old days, man.
Yeah. We should do another one of these, one of these hip hop things. So there's a lot to go on. We haven't even discussed like Jay and Nas or like, you know, the Fall of Lupe fiasco. I shouldn't say the Fall, because he still puts out really good music. Like, Dopamine, I like the first, like, 6 tracks on there. After that, it kind of, like, dies off of me.
Yeah.
But I love that song, But Baby Don't Stop Till the Dopamine Hits You. I've been spinning the Old Man Way Show. Thanks, Just Grant, for coming in here. I'll let you go so you can go back to studying.
All
right. Can I get a Damn It, Wade?
Damn It, Wade.
What the fuck was he, a sex caller?
No. Damn It, Wade.